Marketing Espresso, making marketing as enjoyable, energizing, and digestible as your morning coffee. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Marketing Espresso. So grateful you are here with me today. You've chosen this podcast. Hopefully you're loving it. If you are loving it, by all means, tell someone you know about it and spread the love. My goal this year, and I've said it time and time again, is to grow this podcast. So I want your help on that journey. Obviously, podcasts grow. They can grow in many ways, just like businesses, right? But the one way that I know that it can definitely grow is word of mouth. So if there's someone that you know needs to listen to this, please, please, please tell them about it. I will be grateful. And also reach out to me and give me any feedback that you think I should have. I have launched onto YouTube too, guys. So if you want to watch these episodes for some reason on YouTube, over and above, I mean, I'm an audio girl, right? Like I love listening to a podcast over watching YouTube. I honestly go to YouTube maybe twice a year. And I know that's bizarre because, you know, the majority of the world is on YouTube. But anyway, that's a whole other tangent and not what we are talking about today. Today, it is a Tuesday, so I have a really cool guest on for you, as I always do. I'm excited about this guest because I am popping her podcasting cherry. And I am talking about Claire Orwalter. Claire is a brand and web designer and digital design specialist. She has 2 decades of experience across big corporations where she's headed up teams of digital designers taking care of global web platforms, as well as design agencies looking after clients from finance to broadcast media to healthcare. After having 2 little people, Claire decided she wanted to take her expertise and goals into her own hands and went out on her own to create Claire Orwalter Design. She began helping her clients do the same. Go from working for a big corporate with limited flexibility to running their own successful businesses on their terms around the life they choose. She helps her clients start strong with a unique brand based on research and an impressive online presence that ultimately helps them land ideal clients of their own. I'm really excited for this episode. I hope you guys love it. Feel free to reach out to me. Feel free to reach out to Claire. All the details are in the show notes as usual. And if you haven't yet, make sure that you are subscribed, that you leave me a review, and that you reach out, say hi, and tell me something that you love about the potty. Have a great week, guys. Claire, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Before we kick off, I just have to say, Best marketing decision ever to choose your intro with the with the percolating coffee coming out of the espresso. As soon as I hear that, I'm like, A, I need a coffee, and B, I need to listen to some more podcasts while I have the coffee. So I don't know if it was intentional or not.
Totally intentional. Yeah.
Love it.
Because it came about because we're going on such a tangent here. It came about because I'm obsessed with coffee, and I'm a massive, anyone that knows me knows, like, I'm a coffee snob too. Like, I'm a real wanker about it. Yeah. And I think that's why people think I'm from Melbourne, but I'm like, sorry, Melbourne people, Sydney has better coffee.
You can have, yeah, that's controversial.
I've done it. I'm just like, I've just lost every Melbourne listener I ever had. Right? They're like, screw you. I mean, to be fair though, in Melbourne, there's this place, and I can't even think of what it's called, but you can actually go there and do like a coffee tasting, like you do wine tasting.
Yeah. Coffee cupping, yeah.
Yes, but I'm like, mate, that's a terrible idea. Like, it's one thing to be drunk. It's another whole thing to be high on caffeine, right?
I know, right? And how many shots are you having? Like 8 shots and then...
I only have 2 shots a day and that's my limit now. Like,
actually, same.
Did I even have my coffee this morning? Yeah, I did. Anyway, we were so tangented. But thank you for the intro compliment. That's actually, that's my marketing machine. It's actually my machine at home. I recorded it. When I came up with this idea, I went downstairs with my shitty iPhone, recorded it. That is a basic iPhone recording. So
good. But it's such a visceral reaction whenever I hear your intro. I'm like, oh, yep, coffee time. Time to listen to next podcast. So there you go.
Oh, that's such a good comment.
Nailed it.
I'm gonna like chop that out and just have it as like my testimonial for why you should listen. Well, we are actually talking something other than how good coffee is today.
We are, yeah.
Which is sad because I feel like now I need a whole episode just dedicated to my wanker coffee addiction. But we are actually talking personas in web design, which is kind of a bit of a tangent because, like, if someone was designing a coffee website for me, like, you know, they'd have to go about it in a really certain way, wouldn't they?
Yeah. How do you appeal to the coffee snob through a website? 100%.
Yeah. So talk to us, personas. What
personas?
Like personas in web design. Because I know in marketing, like most people are probably really aware of like ideal client or avatar. But you know, I think people probably just assume it's really the same for a website. But I actually think there's a lot of differences. So talk us through it.
Yeah. Yeah, so there is a little bit of crossover, but essentially you're creating your personas, thinking about how they're specifically going to find your website, move through your website, what are they going to do when they're on there, what kind of actions do you want them to take. So in the world of UX, which is user experience design, which is essentially thinking about how people are using your website, which is really important. As part of that process, I'll gather information on, you know, who your ideal client is, who you're currently working with, who your competitors are working with, and also take, assuming, you know, you've done a brand strategy with someone like yourself and have an idea of these person's likes, dislikes, that sort of thing, will create a persona. And we were talking before the podcast, you really want to, you almost want to have this person, give them a name, you know, mm-hmm. use a stock photo or some AI to create a picture of this person. And you can have two or three that are going to move through your site. Because what I find is a lot of clients come to me and they're like, I just want an online brochure. I just want an online business card. Someone's going to come to my site and, you know, look through the pages and see what I offer, and then they're going to contact me. But what you really want to do is design your website so that it's appealing to several different types of people. So mm-hmm. when you're creating these personas, you've got your hot lead. So like you might call her Brooke or whatever, and she knows about you. She's been referred to you, say you're a healthcare professional. She's been referred to you by someone, a GP or a friend. She knows that she wants to buy. She's got an urgent problem that she wants you to solve. She's going to jump on your website. She's not going to read it. She's not going to read any of the copy. She's going to go on and she's going to want to find your book button. So she wants it to be bright and bold and somewhere where she can click without even scrolling. She wants to go to your contact page. She wants to put in some information about who she is, and you want to receive that information so you can decipher, you know, the hot leads from the warm leads. Mm. And then you've got another person who might not be ready to buy. Let's call him Bob or whatever. Maybe come up with some better names.
Bob and Brooke are quite like it.
Brooke and Bob. One of my personas is Pedro, because I love the name Pedro. I don't know
why. It's such a good name.
It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, love it. You know, and Bob might be a warm lead. So he doesn't necessarily know who you are. He might have come through social media, seen one of your posts and gone, oh, what are they about? You know, and he knows, like, maybe you're a lawn care provider, and he knows, oh, I've got a lawn, but do I really want to pay someone to kind of come and treat it yet? And he wants to know what you're about. He's not going to look at your book button or your contact page. He's going to want to know more about you, your services. Yeah. He's going to click through your website more than someone who is a hot lead is going to do. So, you know, you've just got to think about how each of these people are going to move through your site. And it's my job to take in all the information that you've given me about these personas and to create a website that not only tailors to each of these people, but drives them to the end outcome, which is essentially buying from you, whether that's now, in 2 weeks, 2 months, you know, whatever the journey may be. So it's just a different way of thinking about how you're going to get people to your site. It's the same as marketing avatars, but it's more specifically you know, to your website.
I love it, because I feel like it's actually on a deeper level. Like, I think, you know, you get your avatar and you're like, this is who I'm niching to, or this is who my ideal client is. And look, sometimes there are several different versions of those people too for us. Like, you know, there's a whole trend at the moment of you can only have one avatar or you can only have one ideal client. And I don't actually buy into that. I think depending on what it is that you do depends on how you niche. I think it has to be, like anything in marketing, it has to be unique for you. But what I love about this is you're actually looking at that then unique individual and how they buy. Like, we know that there's buyer behavior. Like, there's actually science behind this, and there's science behind how they use a website. This is not just you going, oh, I think they'll do this. This is actually, you know, from stats and data. And I think that we need to start building our websites. We need to start doing our marketing from stats and data. We've gone so far. Like, it's so funny. Back when I started in marketing, stats and data was all we worked off, and research. Mm. We all did research. And now none of that ever comes up. And I'm like, how is this not a thing anymore? And it's not a thing because of social media. It's not a thing because we've been sold this belief that if you have a social media presence, you will build a business. And I'm like, that's just actually not the fucking case. Like, and it's the same thing, right? Like, and I think you and I will go into this in another episode, but it's the same thing about, like, even the argument to have a website. But to have a website that's actually created with the thought process of how are people going to use this, rather than you being like, hey, I just have to chuck a whole bunch of shit on a website to have a website.
I just want it to look pretty, you know?
And it's not about the looking pretty. It's actually, and I think even with that, like, branding and stuff, there's this whole, it's got to have all these elements. It's got to look like this. And it's like, well, actually stripping it back and simplifying it for that client and what their user experience is, so much more valuable.
Absolutely. And you sort of mentioned the data side of things, but all of these personas and, you know, the research we do is based on data. And so like any good website manager, so if you've got, you know, someone managing your website on a consistent basis or a regular basis, they'll go back after website launch and they'll measure it and they'll use tools to measure it. Mm-hmm. So we can actually justify, yep, this person's doing this behavior or this person's clicking on this button. So we can use tools like A/B testing and heat mapping. There's so many different things out there.
I love heat mapping.
The best. I love it.
So what heat mapping is, just to like, or maybe I'll let you explain what heat mapping is, because you're going to probably explain it a lot better than I will.
I mean, it's pretty simple. It's basically a program. So you can use plugins in WordPress or you can use sort of third-party programs to link to your website and they will show you user behavior. So they'll record and measure any clicks, any scrolls, where people are even hovering their cursor. So people might be about to click on something, but they don't. So, you know, that kind of, and it gives you this beautiful heat map, which essentially tells you where the hot areas are and the cold areas. So, you know, that might actually prove what you thought, that a lot of people are just going straight to your book button. And there might be a particular service on your page that people are hovering, but they're not actually clicking. So that's kind of where you would dedicate your next piece of research into why they're not clicking on that. Is it not visually appealing, or does it not have a big call to action, or do they just change their minds, or do they get distracted by a pop-up for a lead magnet, which can sometimes be more detrimental than not. So
but it
gives you this
pop-ups.
Beautiful pretty picture where it just looks like it's like a weather map, and
I love them. Do you find there's a certain amount of personas that exist, or is it kind of a bit limitless based on an avatar that you're given?
Yeah, it really depends on the industry. So when I was working for, you know, say Westpac, we have quite a few avatars. So we try to narrow them down, but we'd probably work up to about 7 or 8 different people. And so your homepage would act as like an airport terminal to each of those avatars. Awesome. And then each of the pages would be like the gate. So, you know, you've got like investing or banking or cards or whatever. But a lot of my small business service-based providers, they tend to just have, I like to have 1 or 2, like maybe up to 3, but I guess this is when you're talking about niching. So you want an ideal client, right? So you might have 3 personas coming to your website, but you want to market to the one. So you have an ideal client that you know, who might be Brooke, who's like, you just want them to book straight away. And so that's the persona you want on your website, but the other personas you might be marketing to through your social media with education and brand awareness. But by the time they get to your website, you want one particular type of person to come to your site. So it varies, but I find it's easier to tailor everything if you've just got 1 or 2 people that you really, I don't want to use the word niching, because niching is a bit of a, we have over talked about it a lot.
I hate that word now, it's just one of those buzzwords for me now, because I'm like, it doesn't actually have meaning behind it anymore. Like, it's kind of just, you know.
Okay, and I think people are getting way too narrow in their niching. And same with personas, where it's like, so Brooke is a 30 to 40 something with 2 kids. Like, no, we don't want to narrow it down.
Fully. I think because, there's definitely something in knowing who it is that you want to serve and knowing what the red flags are for you and the green flags and all of that great stuff. But there is also a case of sometimes someone that is going to be a really great client for you may not fit that exact, like if you've niched so small, you are sometimes leaving money on the table. Because like someone once argued with me about niching into just working with accountants. And I was like, that's fucking ridiculous. I'm like, I'm not doing that. That is absolutely ridiculous. Like, it's just, you know, and in certain, I'm
limiting.
Yeah, 100% it's limiting. So I think it's really important to know thyself. So if I'm really like kind of looking at this website stuff at the moment, and I know my website's a bit shit and I need to like kind of look into this a bit deeper, and I'm on the marketing journey, as like a lot of people listening to this podcast, they're probably, you know, they're either deep in it or they're sort of starting out and they're having thought bubbles around this. And I think the websites are the thing that people legitimately think about last, and I don't agree with that. How would I start to figure out these persona stuff? If I can't afford someone to do it for me, is there a way to kind of do it yourself?
Yeah, totally. So for me, the website, it kind of is, because I'm a brand and web designer, so the website is kind of one of the last things that you're creating. So the first thing that I do with my clients up front is, if they don't have a brand strategy, is I work through you know, trying to identify their existing clients. And a lot of them are coming from, you know, big corporates and going out solo on their own. So they do have an idea of the type of clients that they like and the ones that spark joy, you know, a bit Marie Kondo's or Marie Kondo's sort of, if a client sparks joy, like that's who you want to work with. And so that's how I kind of got down the healthcare path was I would get a, you know, a range of discovery calls in a week and I'd be like, oh, this industry, not. And then I'd get someone from healthcare, like allied health or, you know, a specialist or a psychologist. And I'd be like, yes, that they're who I want to work with. Yeah. And so if that's kind of, you know, giving you that visceral reaction, then, you know, you explore that path. So whether or not, you know, you have clients like that or not, you kind of explore it. And then the way I do my brand strategy and brand guidelines is I like to work through all of this first, you know, up front, but the client really has to come up with their own ideas about who they want to work with. Then I just say, you know, draw a persona of a person, you know, even if it's just an outline, and just brainstorm what kind of coffee do they drink. You know, you can get really narrow. It's not going to be limiting, but
are they a coffee wanker?
Visualize that person. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, things, are they a parent? Are they, you know, what drives them? What kind of problems do they have? Are they an emotional buyer or, you know, that sort of stuff? And then when I dive into brand, so I like to do my brand and copy. So I'm not a copywriter, but I use copywriters. Brand and copy should be done together. So there's a lot of argument about, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, the brand or the copy. But I think for me, a lot of businesses make a mistake in that they get their copy written just before they're about to put their website live, but then they don't have an alignment between the brand and the copywriting. So their brand might be, you know, friendly and warm and engaging and young, and their copy, you know, they've had a copywriter do it without working with the brand designer. Yeah. And it doesn't, there's a mismatch there. So, and then what you would do is you would give your brand designer and your copywriter those personas, and then that will make it so much easier for them to write things and to design things around, you know, your ideal client, because that's ultimately who you're speaking to. And then the website is right at the end. So, you know, the website, the UX, all of that sort of stuff, that takes your brand, your copy, and your, you know, user experience, all the research you've done behind that, and transforms it into an online platform. So, but I find a lot of people do come to me, they're like, I need a website. I don't have brand strategy. I don't have copy. I don't really have brand guidelines. I've got a logo, but I haven't really thought about who that's appealing to, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of the sequence I like to do things in. But, you know, sometimes it's a little bit back to front, and that's fine. You know, we're all sort of just like winging it in this new world of business. So
yeah, fully. I love that. I think that's really helpful. So, and you know, if they want to do the research into like how they can find out the user experience stuff, what's a way to do that? Or is it kind of, I mean, I would sort of think that it's the heat mapping and all of that stuff, potentially even after you launch, like doing that constant evaluation as well. But do you have any tips around that for people?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of just thinking about for as a starting point, how do you navigate through websites? So what are your favorite sites? Yeah. How do you get there? Do you start on Instagram, or do you, you know, start on Facebook and then you see someone's put a link, you know, someone suggested a link, then you go to that website? Or do you jump onto Google firsthand and do you, you know, search for something specific? Then once you're at that website, you think about the websites that you really love and the brands that you really love and how you interact with them and how they entice you to move through the site. And then the next thing is ask your clients. So like these are your clients, these are the people you're going to be working with. So you can't really work in a silo. So, you know, even if it's just as simple as an email, just saying, you know, who are the favorite brands that you like to work with? Have you heard about my brand before? Have you heard about me? How did you find out about me? What do you wish that you could know more about me? Ask about competitors in your industry. So if you haven't worked with me before, so I send like a little questionnaire out to the people who have decided not to work with me in that year and just said, so who designed your website in the end? Do you mind, you don't have to name names, but why did you choose them over me? And, you know, what did you like about their brand? How did you move through their website? Did it take you long to decide on using their services? So it's market research, right? It's just you know, specified down into a web platform, into the specifics. But
I think those like asking our customers or even asking the people that don't become our customers, like love that you do that. And I think it's such a bold move, but I think so many of us want to hide from those answers.
And it's such an awkward conversation to have, right? And a lot of people don't want to answer those questions. So you've got to set it up in a safe space. You know, sometimes a phone call is a bit better, like, because you sort of just set up, look, I understand you work with me, no harm, no foul, but I'd just love to know why.
Yeah, 100%. I actually love that. And I think I think it's like with any relationship, you have every, I think the more that you can discover why something didn't work out, the more you can go, okay, maybe they actually weren't my ideal client anyway, but if they were, what did turn them off? Was it, and if it was just pricing, then it's like, well, I'm not nudging on that. Or if it was, you know, depending on the different things, you're kind of like, okay, cool. Like I'm learning from that.
And
I think it is terrifying to have those conversations. I'm not downplaying. I absolutely love that you do that. I think that is such a boss.
I don't enjoy it. No one wants negative feedback, right?
Thinking about is like calling every ex I've ever had and being like, hey, what went wrong?
It's exactly the same. And you know what? I have actually done that with exes before. It's so, you know.
Oh, God.
What went wrong? I need to know for my next relationship.
Yeah, Claire, I feel
what
like,
can I do better?
I feel like people can learn a lot from you, not just web design. I feel like asking those
dating
really,
advice.
Yeah, dating advice.
Well, I'm about to celebrate my 9th anniversary now. So, like, you know, obviously that market research really, like, it helped, you know.
Oh, shit, I love this. I'm going to call up all my exes today. No, I'm
not.
Send
an email.
Oh, I really love it.
Can you fill in this quick survey?
That's so good. Wow. I think it's a boss move. And I genuinely, like, all jokes aside, I actually think it is such a brilliant way to make sure that you are always on that. Because at the end of the day, we can get really stale. We can get so stale and think that we've got it right and everyone else in our industry isn't doing it right. But if you genuinely want to be best practice, and I hate that word, but if you want to be like best in business, be able to deliver the best user experience, the best customer experience, those questions, those conversations, so important and hard, but like,
and also you need to keep updating your personas, you know, by using these data tools. And you know, I'm about to change the lead magnet on my website because I've noticed my bounce rate is, you know, higher than I really want it to be, and so I've got my lead magnet popping up, I think 30% of a scroll of the page. And I think that might be contributing to people bouncing. So, you know, you've got to always, you know, and I'll do an A-B test or do one version of the site where, you know, the pop-up comes up and one version where it won't. And then, you know, whichever one, obviously, you know, the bounce rate reduces, then I'll choose that option. So, you know, it's always about being adaptable and, you know, looking at your persona and going, actually, that's changed. I don't really want to work with that person anymore.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's just about being adaptable and changing. But you can't do that without data, right?
Yeah, and I love your emphasis there on data as well. I think data points are such a research has been so forgotten in the world that we're in. But the most ironic thing about that is we've never had better access to data.
Exactly. And there's some amazing tools out there that will just tell you all the things. It's the trick is knowing what is important data and what isn't. So
Yeah. And I think, you know, people can reach out to you and kind of ask you those questions. I'll put all your details in the show notes. But thank you so much for joining me today. I think it's been such an awesome chat. So many important points that I'm going to take away and be like, because I know my website needs a bit of love right now.
I mean, they all do, right? Like, no website is ever perfection.
It is the never-ending drama. My poor VA, every single year I'm like, hey, babe, we need to update this. And she's like, I can hear her sigh. I can hear it. But thank you so much for joining us. I'll put your details in the show notes, but where can people find you?
They can find me primarily on Instagram at Claire Walter Design. Yeah, or my website is clairewalterdesign.com.au. So jump on and have a look, and yeah, that's where you can contact me.
Love it. Thanks again.
Thanks for the chat.
Hi, Beck here, just dropping in to say that if you are struggling with your marketing planning, I have got the solution just for you. I have recently launched my marketing planner to the world, and I am offering it to you at a 5% discount for listening to the potty. You can see what's in the planner and how it's going to change your life simply by visiting my website, beckchapel.com.au, and heading to the resources section. When you're ready to check out, chuck in Potty VIP and you'll get your 5% discount. Thanks for listening, and I hope that it changes your life.